Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States. Welcome to America Tonight. State of the Union over an hour long. Kate Delaney hanging with all of you. We're going to break it down. What the president didn't say, should have said, and what he did say that tugged at a lot of heartstrings. A lot of the tail end of the State of the Union address had to do with guns as expected, but really the meat of what the prez talked about had to do with the economy and the middle class, growing the middle class. We've got jobs. Things are happening. All that kind of malarkey, I have to be honest, that I'm not seeing in the blocks in my neighborhood, because I see a lot of people that still don't have jobs. I'm not trying to play the negative Nancy role here on ATN. Listen, I'm all about let's get it done, roll up our sleeves, and start to bootstrap and get out the axe and figure out where we can cut this enormous giant. We need the government. I'm not suggesting we don't shove everything off the table, but slicing up the beast is really at the heart of where we are before March 1st, and I didn't hear a lot of that in the State of the Union. As I said, the emotional part of it, with people in the audience affected sadly, tragically, sickeningly, by evildoers with guns who killed them, you know, killed their family members, whether it was Newtown, Connecticut, or we're talking about what happened with Gabby Giffords when she took her message to the public and it tragically ended in the death of a young girl and many others, including those close to her. And other horrific events that have happened because of gun violence. You know, this is the whole deal with the Obama administration. It's the guns as far as assault weapons are concerned, and there needs to be more background checks. He didn't get specific on it, but said he realizes not everybody agrees, but there must be a vote.
The families of Oak Creek and Tucson and Blacksburg and the countless other communities ripped open by gun violence, they deserve a simple vote.
See, and just like that, you could hear the people go crazy that were at the State of the Union, meaning many of them saying, okay, with the vote thing, and calling heavily on that and hitting it hard at the tail end. That's how he left the State of the Union address. As I said, to be sure, most of what the conversation was coming out of the president, the one-way conversation, the speech, was about the economy and the middle class. Clearly, that was the focus. Clearly, that was the gist of everything, including a call to increase the federal minimum wage to $9 an hour, up from $7.25. Also, to pass immigration reform, talking about the borders and strengthening the borders, but to pass the immigration reform and the economic growth in America and a rising, thriving middle class. The quote that I would have taken out as far as the economy is concerned is when he said, it's our generation's task to reignite the true engine of America's economic growth. That word again, a rising, thriving middle class. So afterwards, Marco Rubio, and we're going to let you hear that during this hour, had the rebuttal, if you will, the GOP response to Obama's State of the Union. And he took apart what the president had to say about the middle class and taxing and borrowing and spending. So it was kind of like a mini theater of what we've seen in Washington for the past 2 years through the campaign and on now to the second part of Obama's presidency, part two. House Speaker John Boehner, who looked kind of hangdoggish in the background as the camera was so focused on him, because clearly You've got the vice president and the speaker of the House that sit behind the president. So he, a couple of times the camera would just focus on Boehner, but you could always see him in the background. And Boehner said afterwards, the entire speech he didn't, there was very little out of Boehner, but Boehner said that the president's go-it-alone approach and is the problem, and he accused him of pushing stimulus policies that failed to fix the economy. So there were polls taken as to what issue the president should or would even focus on in his State of the Union address. We talked about a little bit here on ATN. Would it be gun control? Would it be deficit? Would it be climate change? Because he brought up climate change a little bit. He brought up immigration, brought up the economy. And the gist, really, I'll say it again, was mostly the economy. There were other morsels of other things that were contained in the State of the Union, including everything that I just mentioned that people in several polls voted on, which was the most important. I thought one of the more interesting things in the very beginning of the speech, he called on expanding early education to all four-year-olds in the country, saying the hundreds of dollars a week that it costs to afford that, it needs to be available to everybody, because this is the way you start from the beginning with the child, and then they'll be able to go through the educational system, and they'll be able to get an affordable education. And at the end, he brought that back around and said with colleges, they were going to come up with a scorecard for colleges that gave you the best bang for your buck. I was thinking to myself, he went to Harvard. I wonder if Harvard would be on that list. He also called for, in the economic bracket, the expansion of manufacturing, what he called hubs, and mentioned by name several companies, including Apple, and saying that Apple will now produce its stuff back here on these shores instead of having so much of it done elsewhere. So he hit on one thing that almost everyone in the room was going to applaud, and that was taking back jobs that have been lost overseas. And the proposals, the adds and subtractions to the deficit kind of got either warm applause or really not much particular excitement, except for by a few key Democrats, I think, in the crowd. And a lot of this is because the long-term debt, as we all know, is the monster with the baby boomers that we're all coming up on, is the cost of health and the cost of health care. And he did say that. Obama did acknowledge that, but he said this was clearly a difference between and a shot at the Republicans. He said that America has to embrace the need for modest reforms. So not doing the slicing and the dicing that was asked for before, but we can't ask senior citizens and working families to shoulder the entire burden, this is Obama, of deficit reduction while asking nothing more from the wealthiest and the most powerful. So here again, the deficit, the cuts, the wealthy people, who's taxing? There were a lot of mentions throughout about tax increases. So the Republicans' debate over the tax hike, I think, is over. They've 86'd it. They want nothing to do with it. We just scratched the surface. If you want to chime in, certainly feel free to do so. Did you listen? Did you hear anything that was new? We're going to go through it the rest of the way here on ATN, 855-266-5283. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Good day. Jim Newcomer from Midas Resources. February 12th, 2013. Gold opened this morning at $1649.30. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $1690.45, $845.22 for a half ounce, or $422.61 for a quarter ounce. That's $1690.45, $845.22, and $422.61.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? Wait a sec. Gold and silver is going up while Congress is trying to settle on the next debt increase. And there's no end to this madness. That old 401k and IRA can be converted into physical gold without tax consequences. I explained this in my book, 10 Reasons to Buy Gold. Don't let time slip away. Call for your free copy today, 800-686-2237. Get away from that Washington spin and get honest answers about gold. 800-686-2237. The book is free, 800-686-2237.
In this unpredictable world, disaster can strike anyone. That's why an essential part of any emergency survival plan must be stove in a can. When power goes out and gas lines are down, the portable, safe, easy-to-use stove in a can cooks food up to 4 hours and boils water in as little as 5 minutes. Stove in a can comes with everything you need. The stove, fuel, even waterproof matches, all in a compact, durable, heavy-duty container. Plus, the all-natural, non-explosive, 100% waterproof fuel source can be stored indefinitely. Say goodbye to the hassle and danger of propane, lighter fluid, or gas. Stock up now and protect your family with Stove in a Can, starting out at $29.99. Special bundle offers now available with a 100% satisfaction guarantee or your money back. Order yours today at StoveInACan.com. That's StoveInACan.com.
That cabin is still too hot for anybody to make entry. There has been no body located inside of that cabin. Until we have confirmation, A, that a body was located, and B, that that body belongs to Christopher Dorner, the Los Angeles Police Department is going to continue on with its high-profile protection detail of our officers. Recovering bodies out of burned buildings, as you may know, is very difficult, and it's difficult to identify the remains of someone in a building, and that could take days or possibly even weeks to do a DNA analysis or a forensic dental analysis, depending on the condition of the body.
All right, while we were all being taxed with the State of the Union address, in California, the police got to a mountain cabin where Chris Dorner had barricaded himself inside. There was a shootout. A deputy was killed, and that was it. He never emerged from the cabin. You just heard Commander Andrew Smith talking about, we're going to keep on doing what we're doing, because we don't have a body. But the reports immediately came out that it was a body that Dorner burned in the cabin. And once again, in this crazy story, there is no body. They have no confirmation. Is there possibly any way that Dorner got out of that cabin? I mean, come on. I mean, the whole thing, boom, in flames. Crazy story, and there's more details on that one, too. Thanks for joining us, America, here on ATN with me, Kate Delaney. We're talking about a couple of different things during this hour, but in particular, the State of the Union address. Did a little fact-checking on that, and I'm going to tell you what I found out. It's kind of crazy. When the State of the Union's going on, I can imagine if you're a reporter there, you're listening to everything, and you're saying, wait a second, is that right what he just said? Was that the statistic? Did I just hear that statistic? And I went through trying to go through it myself, too, as well, as far as the jobs were concerned. But because the president talked about huge gains, and as I said, I don't know what neighborhood this is in. but I'm not seeing this across the board. And sure enough, in checking that, the numbers were, well, let's say a little fuzzy math. Let's go to Tomas in Michigan. Hey, Tomas, how are you?
Oh, I'm fine, Kate. How are you doing down there in the land of the free?
Yeah, it is the land of the free, isn't it? Or the land of the discontented, and we're not going to take it anymore. Good. Thank you.
Yeah. I heard Obama speaking, and I saw Rubio speak, and I think Rubio just took a huge step backwards. Did you see him speak?
I did. I watched the whole thing. I watched the whole speech. I watched Rubio speak. What made you think, what didn't you like that Rubio talked about?
He seems to have some sort of little tick, you know, and always like licking his lips like he has like some sort of hair lip phobia or something, you know.
Maybe he has a dry mouth. Maybe he had cotton mouth, and that's why there was that craziness with reaching for the water. For goodness' sake!
The one the president laid out tonight. The choice isn't just between big
there
government
was
and
the swallow
business.
On cue. Did you hear that? That was him. He went, he gulped because he couldn't catch his breath, and they handed him water. And, of course, everybody was tweeting that all over the place. That was it. After he did that, nobody heard anything he said after that.
Nah, everybody just said, he's been kissing GOP establishment behind so he could become the front runner. All right?
Right.
But after that, and you've got to have good TV skills. Now,
right.
I'll tell you what, though, Rand Paul, he hit it out of the park. I mean, he was on message, and, you know, he sounded like he was on your show. Like he'd been listening to your show for, like, the last 3 years, you know? He came out with not only a plan on how to reduce the deficit, he showed that the math that they use in D.C. is that you can cut $1 trillion, and still that means you're going to spend $7 trillion more, and that the sequester was really just increasing by $7 trillion instead of $9 trillion. And then he said he'd come out with a balanced budget. There's that B word again that you don't hear. A balanced budget in 5 years using the 1%, 1 cent out of every dollar cut plan that's been, I think, out there by Connie Mack, I think, is the guy who started that or something.
Yes, it was Connie Mack. And you're right. I heard what Paul said. I think the biggest thing that he said, and you were right to point that out, because he gave the Tea Party response for people that are listening to us while Rubio was working on the, I guess, Republican response. There's three different kinds of Republicans. Republican right, Republican light, and Republican somewhere confused in the middle. So Rand Paul said, he talked about the fact that the sequester has to stand, and that the sequester really needs to be at least $4 trillion to avoid another downgrade of America's credit rating. And he was dead on with that. He's right. I mean, you know, the president said, and you saw this, Tomas, the president said that we are good people. We're hardworking people. We're working hard. People are working. And we're going to pay our bills. We're going to pay our bills and stand in good credit. He said that, but there was no, that was all fluff and stuff. Well, how are we going to stand in good credit when we're not paying what we have to pay?
Well, when you're the one that's buying your own credit.
Yes.
You know, then it's all right. When you can print money, you can have all the credit you want.
Because, yeah.
Like we've always said, we're printing $85
yes.
billion dollars a month.
Yeah.
Unless Rand Paul starts taking over the Republican Party, I can't see even, you know, lifelong Republicans putting up with this stuff. It's just going to get out of hand. And I just think Rand Paul was the winner tonight. Did you see, how did you feel, Kate? I felt really bad for those two black parents that were sitting, Michelle, and they just lost their daughter.
Yes.
And they'll be putting on TV there, and it's like, What is Obama saying? You know,
yeah,
Chicago already has, you know, a no gun situation. You're not
right.
allowed to have one in Chicago. What solution was Obama offering to those poor people? How did you feel about it when you saw
him? No, I had the same response as you, and the reason is because they did just lose their daughter. Michelle Obama was at the funeral. It's a sad, sad story. It is. The kid, by all accounts, was incredible, raised in a really tough area, and he or she was thriving in school, 15 years old, riddled in that horrible area in Chicago where it's ridiculous, like you said, no guns, but people are being gunned down, including, what's her name? She just lost a whole bunch of weight. She's a great singer. You know who I'm talking about. Her family, three people in her family were gunned down, and that was a big deal. And it was right around in that same area. So it was a weird thing to point out because they're not having success there. Rahm Emanuel, who's the mayor, is not having success when it comes to the situation of guns in Chicago.
It's, you know, I'm glad. I hope the Republicans do not talk about it. I think it'd be terrible to put those people through more of a looking glass. Hey, you know, thanks for the opportunity, Kate. You, like nobody else, you offer anybody on any side of the aisle to get on your show, and that gives you credibility.
Yeah. Thanks, Tomas. Thanks, Tomas. Thanks for the call. All right, you heard Tomas. He is right about that. If you're left of left, right of right, somewhere in between, I really don't find that there's anything that any party has to offer you. That's cool. You must have an opinion, I hope, on this great country and where we're headed, whether you're in your 30s, climbing into your 40s, or in your 20s. Because, you know, I worry about generation after generation behind. Our legacy as Americans is to be able to hold our hand out and pull everyone else up. It's supposed to be that your parents say that they worked hard so you had it better. And you're supposed to say, I worked hard so my kids have it better. And then so on and so forth. But, boy, that circle has been broken in a very, very big way. 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283. We're talking a little bit about the State of the Union address, the president, what he might have missed on, where he flailed when things were exaggerated, as all presidents, to be honest, tend to do when they put these deals together, which I don't understand. Because it's easy to fact check some of the big numbers, and you have great speechwriters, and that's usually what happens. So particularly on jobs, private sector jobs growing by 6.1 million since February 2012. But since Obama became president, the gain is really 1.9 million. And when you have losses in public sector employment that are added into the mix, the gain is 1.2 million, so a little bit smaller. Stay with us. We're cherry picking some of the facts next.
You've come to expect winter specials from Herbal Healer Academy, and we're not going to let you down. Battle through cold and flu season with powerful, natural, and safe flu fighters. Antivirals like olive leaf extract capsules and elderberry power. Vitamin D3, 180 caps, only $9. Beta-glucans and an incredible immune system booster. Our own 4-herb tea capsules and Respa 8, all specially priced during the winter sale at herbalhealer.com. Also, exclusive homeopathic detoxes for lungs, kidneys, liver, whole body, and lymph are on sale. Herbal Healer Academy offers correspondence courses to teach you how to handle your health naturally. And as always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on and save big now when you hit the winter specials at herbalhealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time since 1988. Celebrating 25 years in service to the natural healthcare industry.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, I can help you reduce or eliminate your tax debts and end your tax nightmare. Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce and eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay, and after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. And with the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
Valentine's Day is this week, and Pro Flowers is offering an amazing last-minute deal. One dozen gorgeous red roses, plus a free glass vase, a free teddy bear, and a free box of chocolates for just $39.99. Go to ProFlowers.com, click on the radio microphone in the upper right corner, and enter the secret code 9696. But hurry, Valentine's Day is this Thursday, and this incredible deal expires Wednesday. Most roses will be sold out by Valentine's Day, so order now from Pro Flowers to get huge savings and guarantee Valentine's delivery. One dozen stunning red roses sent fresh from the fields, guaranteed to stay fresh and beautiful for at least 7 full days, plus a free vase, free teddy bear, and free chocolate, all for only $39.99. But hurry, because it could be nearly impossible to find roses on Valentine's Day. And this incredible last-minute deal expires Wednesday. The only way to get this amazing deal is to visit ProFlowers.com. Click on the microphone in the upper right corner and enter the secret code 9696. That's secret code 9696.
Is 2013 your year to achieve more? More vitality? More health? More well-being? Hi, this is Pastor Jenny. For 25 years, I spent my life's work teaching others how to achieve more. But in 2010, I got a lesson of my own about RNA drops. I learned that there are millions of gene switches latent in every single cell of my body that are waiting for an activator. I learned by taking RNA drops, I could begin to activate that power in my cells and achieve the more that I desire. I'd like to share what I discovered with you and send you a free 30-day supply of RNA drops valued at $50 for just the cost of shipping and handling. Go to rnafreesample.com. That's rnafreesample.com. Or call me toll free at 888-577-3703. That's 888-577-3703. rnafreesample.com. Discover the more that's waiting for you.
And I wanted more than anything to have your respect. The first time I didn't feel it, but this time I feel it, and I can't deny the fact that you like me right now. You like me.
That was Sally Field, who won Academy Award for Best Actress in a Leading Role twice, Norma Rae in 79 and Places in the Heart in 1984. And you could tell by an acceptance speech there that she was really excited that they dug her, and that became fodder for late night jokes for probably a year or so afterwards. And every once in a while, they dig it up again, but I think she was just overwhelmed. And she certainly has played in a lot of different types of roles, from Gidget to Sybil to Smokey and the Bandit to some TV fare, Brothers and Sisters, and Lincoln is the deal now. She portrayed Mary Todd Lincoln in Steven Spielberg's Lincoln, and her supporting role received a whole bunch of nominations for Best Actress, Best Supporting Actress, including the Academy Awards. So will she win on February 24th? Each and every week, we go to our man in Hollywood, Stephen Shohat. He's the author of a tremendous book, Hollywood Stories, Short Entertaining Anecdotes About the Stars and Legends of the Movies. So we put politics aside for a second, and we check the State of the Union in Hollywood with Stephen. Hey, Stephen, how you doing?
Hey, Kate, how's it going?
Good, thank you. The So you remember that acceptance speech, and you remember, like I said, like a lot of people said, bravo that she said that. And then also it was easy to bag on that and make jokes about it, not necessarily nasty jokes, but to just take portions of it because it was so unusual that the way she just was overcome, I think, with emotion, actually.
Yeah, I think it had to do with her whole life. I think, growing up, her mom was an actress. Her stepfather was a very famous stuntman and actor named Jock Mahoney. And there were times where they'd be living well, and all of a sudden their furniture would be repossessed. And so very early on, she saw the life of a working actor being so inconsistent with how you live, and yet she loved it, and she wanted to get into it, and then of course she had a career with a couple of sitcoms, one that she liked quite a bit, Gidget, one that she didn't like, The Flying Nun. And to make that transition from those two shows to be a respected actress, I think that's what really, when she won for Places of the Heart, when she was really overcome with emotion. Although she always said the most emotional moment for her in her life was not winning the Academy Award, but when Norma Rae was shown in Cannes in 1979, and she got a 15-minute standing ovation. And that, you know, not as much industry people, that was just seemed so spontaneous to her. She said that was probably the most overwhelmed that she ever was.
Yeah, what a wild career that, like I said at the beginning, that she's had, because she really, if you think back, just, I mean, even in recent times, she's getting some pretty juicy roles, and some of those roles are not necessarily now leading roles, but they're supporting roles, and she's suited for the character deal, isn't she, the character actor role?
Well, you know, it probably seems like that to the fans. It doesn't always seem like that to her. Like, you take Lincoln, for example. Steven Spielberg asked her to do that role in 2005 when Liam Neeson was still connected to the project, and then it fell through with him. He had the tragedy with his wife Natasha Richardson passing away,
yeah.
And so it looked like the project was killed. And then Daniel Day-Lewis came into it, and now Sally Field had to worry about the fact that she was seen, perceived as aging out of the role. Spielberg said that he didn't see her doing it anymore, and she wouldn't give up. She said, you know, I'm not walking away from this. At least give me a screen test. And he did it. She felt that she didn't give the best performance at her screen test. Spielberg said, look, I'm sorry. I put you together with footage with Daniel Day-Lewis, and she's like, oh, don't worry about it. And she, you know, was very, very disappointed, tried to understand, but was unhappy. And then apparently Daniel Day-Lewis thought that she should get a chance to act with him. And so she was invited in for one more screen test, and she was sitting in the one of the theaters at Spielberg Studio, the Amblin Studio. And then she saw what appeared to be Abraham Lincoln walking towards her, and of course she was staying in character as Mary, and Spielberg saw them together, and due to Daniel Day-Lewis's enthusiasm, he decided to hire her after all as Mary Todd Lincoln.
Yeah, what do you think, if, you know, you and I have been kind of handicapping this all along, you think she has a good shot at this?
Not really. I think it's going to be Anne Hathaway's night.
I do too, for Les Mis. Yeah,
yes, for Les Miserables.
I agree. Do you think, though, that when somebody like Sally Field is, as I said, with the huge body of work she has, it's sort of like she can reinvent herself, and she's out there and getting things. Do you think that's going to continue to be the way her career rolls?
Well, you know, it's hard. I mean, Brothers and Sisters is off the air, and she talks about that every few years there's you know, not that many roles for actresses in their 60s. And of course, one person who she talks about and who she compliments publicly quite a bit is Meryl Streep, who might be her main competitor. And that's a pretty tough thing to overcome. There was, this story you know, it was according to Burt Reynolds. But Burt Reynolds talked about that one time years ago he took Sally Field to a play that Meryl Streep was in. And in the middle of the play, Sally Field whispered into Burt Reynolds' ear and said, I could act her off the stage. And Burt said, yeah, but aren't we going to stay here and enjoy this? And Sally Field said, no, we're not. And she got up and left. And so, you know, that was according to Burt Reynolds. I mean, you haven't heard Sally Field's side of the story, but you know, is always kind of hanging over, you know, unfortunately, ageism does exist. Unfortunately, unfairly, women seem to get it more than men. Now, having said that, she is going to play Aunt May in the sequel to Spider-Man. But just to give you an idea of how ageism can happen, I mean, she was in a movie, what was the name of it? Punchline with Tom Hanks.
And she played
his girlfriend or his wife in that movie. And then a year later, he had Forrest Gump, and she was playing Tom Hanks' mother.
Right, exactly. So she was able to make those things happen and convince them. You know, it's funny, you said the thing about the screen test. I think people assume once you've sort of made it and you have a little bit of a resume in Hollywood that directors either want you or they don't, but that's not true. For big, big roles, for lots of roles, famous actresses still have to, in a sense, audition, don't they?
Yeah, it goes from part to part. I mean, like, you got a guy like Tarantino, and he is writing for particular actors and actresses, and so he's totally loyal. And then you've got somebody like Spielberg, who probably is a little bit more pragmatic, just considering, you know, who maybe the more marketable one was. And one thing with Spielberg, I mean, when he made Jaws, he talked about how if you have well-known actors in a movie, that they carry a certain amount of baggage with them, and the audience has a little while before they suspend disbelief and accept the flying nun as Mary Todd Lincoln. And Sally Field admitted that and said, you know, if he would have gone with somebody else, I totally would have understood. I would have been disappointed, but, you know, I would have gotten it, too.
Yeah. And you talk about the ageism in Hollywood, and you say it's harder for women than the men. I was just thinking about this, the movies coming out. You had a movie with Schwarzenegger, you had one with Stallone, and you have Bruce Willis and yet another Die Hard. Willis has a much better chance, I think, of the others, but Stallone's didn't do well, and neither did Schwarzenegger's.
Yeah, well, you know, with Schwarzenegger, I'll tell you, this is my own personal experience. I was at a Laker game 2 years ago, and they're showing all the celebrities on the scoreboard, and they're showing Denzel Washington, everybody's cheering, Jack Nicholson, everybody's cheering, John Cryer, everybody's cheering, and then they show Schwarzenegger, and everybody starts booing. Loud, intense booing. So, like, you know, if I could have prognosticated, I mean, I would have thought it wouldn't do very well. Now that movie was heavily advertised. The Stallone movie doesn't seem to me like it was that heavily advertised. So I'm not quite so sure. I don't think the public really dislikes Sylvester Stallone for any reason. So I'm not quite sure why that one didn't do as well. But Schwarzenegger, he's been such a jerk, you know. I mean, he had like a year and a half ago, he had a T-shirt that said, I survived Maria. Putting stuff up like that publicly, it's just, you know, I just think it rubs people the wrong way. And that, now, you know, Bruce Willis has always been politically conservative, but, you know, I think he's seen what happened with Schwarzenegger and Stallone's movie, and you know, when he's speaking out on the Second Amendment and in favor of it, I think that has to, you know, maybe get some people excited to go see his movie who are politically aligned with him. And I'm just excited to see another Die Hard movie, so I'll definitely go see it.
Yeah, I will, too. I like the Die Hard franchise. Stephen Schoenhead, HollywoodStories.com. Check it out, everybody. Grab his book. And we'll see you again next week. Stephen, thank you.
You got it, Kate. Thank you.
All right. As Stephen said, it's interesting that we're both fans of the Die Hard. I can remember the first one that I saw. Anybody remember the first Die Hard they saw? Man, it was great. I'm serious. I think that is the role that Bruce Willis was born for. Seriously. Cherry picking the laundry list. That's what's up next from the State of the Union address here on America Tonight.
Healthy soils grow healthy plants. So before you plant your survival garden this year, is your soil healthy? Maximize your crisis garden soil with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 organic soil conditioner, fertilizer amendment, and compost accelerant provides healthier gardens and faster, efficient garden composting. EM1 from Terraganics.com quickly improves soil structure by increasing nutrient availability and converting organic matter into soil humus. This improves seed germination and root growth, improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, nutrient value of fruits and vegetables, and improves shelf life. And when rain is not in the forecast, no worries. EM1 improves moisture retention in soils, helping reduce drought stress. Just like you prepare all else, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at Terraganics.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
Is this the year you finally get serious about your family's drinking water? If so, keep listening for a special offer from Big Berkey Water Filters. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water is fluoridated? Berkey Water Filters distinguish themselves from many other filtration systems with the capability to significantly reduce dangerous chlorine, fluoride, arsenic, and disinfection byproducts from municipal water via the Black Berkey and PF line of filters. Then there's affordability. At only 1.7 cents per gallon, Berkey Water Filters purify treated and untreated water, even stagnant pond water. Stop and think how much money you could save by simply reducing buying bottled water and using water filtered by your Berkey water filter. No need to be constantly replacing expensive filters with a Berkey. A single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. Choose the best size Berkey for your needs at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And right now, all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Just call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Or visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Free shipping on every order over $50. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Stop the pain from broken, chipped, and damaged nails and eliminate toenail fungus with a revolutionary new nail hardener, Nails of Steel. Just apply one drop of Nails of Steel over natural or polished nails and go. With Nails of Steel, there's virtually no drying time and it's guaranteed. Try this all-natural antifungal and herbal formula for women and men. Call 816-896-8307 or get free shipping at nailsofsteel.com. Nailsofsteel.com. It's like a salon in a bottle.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a silver dollar in a book explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Her hair is hollow gold, her lips sweet surprise, her hands are never cold. She's got Betty Davis eyes, she'll turn the music on you. You won't have to think twice.
The press calls for $9 minimum wage, upping the hourly rate, helping the middle class, emphasizing economic growth and job creation, and insisting that the proposers aren't going to increase our deficit. But there was no price tag on any of the things that the president threw out. And if you were to get out your little yellow tablet like I did, and you start to add it up, man, it doesn't add up to me. I don't know. I was okay in math when I was in the elementary grades, and I was pretty good at math when I got to the college level. So I got smart in between, and I didn't do fuzzy math anymore. I stopped counting on my fingers. And by my accounts, I don't see how that all works out. So that's the problem. It sounds good. But how are you getting there? You can't get there is the thing. It's that's the way that you do when you're given a speech to get elected. And the president certainly is very, very good at that. But when it comes to the actual numbers, and when we really do a fast check on the numbers, for example, talking about, there's another thing he said about the Affordable Health Care Act is helping to reduce the growth of health care costs. I think it was a line like that. Well, I'd say, wait a minute. I think that a lot of people are upset because their premiums have gone through the roof and because some of the main provisions aren't fully in effect yet. The real reform, the reform that he's talking about, hasn't happened. And the overhaul so far has also been misrepresented as far as how much it's going to cost, and small businesses who are kicking it back out because they can't afford to do it. And the backbone of the country is small business. Not everybody works for a giant corporation at the upper echelons where they're protected by all of that. Or we don't all have a government job where we have great health care coverage, because remember when that was thrown out so many times. Well, if the health care, if the Affordable Health Care Act is so good, then the way to prove that is put everyone in Washington on it. Since the government is the biggest employer, let's have everybody on the same plan. We'll all be going in the same direction. So you can have the full effect of the premiums and everything else that you would have to spend. And nobody wants any part of that, let me tell you. All right, you want to throw in your 2 cents on the State of the Union address? Give me a jingle, 855-266-5283, 855-266-5283. Let's go out to David in San Francisco. Hello, David.
Well, hi, Kate. Happy New Year. I don't think I've called you this year yet.
Happy New Year to you. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, it's a little late, but all was good. As a matter of fact, I think Chinese New Year was just a couple of days ago. So
it was.
Yeah, fat choy on that one. Hey, you know, what I was interested in with the State of the Union, there were a couple of different issues that got raised. One was the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which is another version of the GATT-NAFTA trade arrangements that are giving most favored status to various nations if they'll mm-hmm. all just start trading with each other.
Right.
And what it really works out is that there are various welfare programs for the corporations to develop sweatshops in other parts of the world and then trade, you know, that American jobs will go to China, but we'll be able to buy their stuff for so darn cheap that we won't care. Well, that can only go on for so long until we're broke and they've got all the jobs. So the issue before that, though, was immigration, where there's going to be some improvement on the immigration arrangement so that people can immigrate only if they go through all of these enormous loops and hoops. Well, if you think about it, in both of those policies, the people can't move unless they jump through hoops, but the money and the corporate welfare is going to be fast-tracked. So they're trying to lock down the people into their sweatshop grind and make it easier for the super-rich to just cash in on the suffering and the lack of liberty of the rest of the world. So I was really I wasn't impressed with Obama laying out this, you know, sordid story. He's kissing up to the same sorry junk that basically, if you know about Mitt Romney, he made mm-hmm. his money outsourcing jobs.
Yes.
And as a matter of fact, I was just reading a book a couple of days ago, and apparently the Secret Service, in the original duties 100 years ago, the Secret Service had responsibility in looking out for pensions. They wanted to make sure that the pensions of Americans were not looted, and so the Secret Service was given that responsibility. Well, apparently those responsibilities were taken away 20 or 30 or maybe even 40 years ago because Mitt Romney made most of his money by looting pension funds. When he would come up with the money to buy a corporation, he would loot the pension fund mm-hmm. to pay for his financing of looting the company. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, he would then outsource all of the jobs, and the pension fund would be gone, and the mm-hmm. jobs would be gone, and the people would have to go on welfare.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea that America's pension funds have been looted for 30 or 40 years, now we're watching more and more baby boomers and seniors having to go work at McDonald's and Walmart at minimum wage, and it was a nice crumb to toss to them to say that he'll raise the minimum wage to $9. But San Francisco raised the minimum wage to $11 probably 8 years ago.
Right.
So, you know, he's a joke as far as the economy is going.
I agree. The I could pick apart, and I did. I was just scribbling as fast as I could to fact check some of what the president said. And it was like a laundry list of platitudes, and let's just say something that's positive, throw in a few numbers here, but the numbers don't add up. And, David, I have a good book for you. What you just said, you're reading a book. It sounds very similar to the book I just finished called Top Secret America, The Rise of the New American Security State. And it's not a hocus-pocus book. It's really well done by Dana Priest and William Arkin, and I'm trying to have both of them on. And they talked a lot about what you mentioned with the Secret Service, so isn't that interesting? But
sure.
Great call, as always, Dave. Keep the faith, brother, there in San Francisco. And as he says, he picked out one of the things that Obama said, I mentioned this, is he's thrown out company names. After shedding jobs for more than 10 years, he was saying that our manufacturers are adding 500,000 jobs over the past three, and that Caterpillar is, they always bring up Caterpillar, is bringing back jobs from Japan. Ford is bringing back jobs from Mexico, and Apple's going to start making Macs in America again. Of course, that doesn't tell the true story of where the bulk of the stuff is happening, but okay, you could, I guess, say that hypothetically that's what's happening. But it's truly, if you look at the company and the prospectus of the company, that isn't it at all. And then he talked about, another thing he talked about is doubling the distance that the cars would go on a gallon of gas, because, you know, the oil dependency stuff, and the amount of renewable energy we generate from sources like wind and solar. Ugh. That is like nails on a chalkboard to me when I hear wind and solar. That's all I hear. And I actually have down the street from me, probably about a mile, somebody with a windmill. And I am dying to ask them about it. Of course, everything is guarded up, so I don't know that I'll be able to get near them, because they're the only person ever in their backyard that I've seen this. But when they're talking about the wind farms, and we're talking about solar, because we produce, yeah, those panels that cost five times as much, so we give Solyndra guaranteed government loans that they don't have to pay back, and they end up having everybody get money up front, basically, and we end up stuck with the bill. It's not working. And then talking about natural gas and the fact that it's going to lower everyone's energy bill because of it, that's not really true across the board either. So there were a few things that I picked out of the speech, and I'm sure there's more I'm going to find as I go along. Any thoughts on the show, you can send them to me at americatonight.net.
We got 3 hours left on this thing, and I can't drive and argue with you rubes all at the same time.
Then false choices like the one the president laid out tonight.
The choice isn't just between big government or big business.
Heard about or even used colloidal silver for years. But did you know there's a silver product that is much better, faster, safer, and superior? Silver that is fundamentally distinctive, different, and the only patented silver since the original colloidal silver in 1923? Introducing Silver Protocol from Neofera. Think about this. What will you do when you can't get antibiotics? Silver Protocol should be in every grab bag, the one product you gotta have when it all breaks loose. Unlike colloidal silver, use Silver Protocol preventatively or whenever infection occurs. Silver Protocol can be boiled or frozen, yet is still 100% effective, has super long shelf life, and will not cause argyria or turn you blue. Order Silver Protocol at 800-213-0644. That's 800-213-0644. Or go to neofera.com, spelled N-E-O-F-E-R-A.com. Sign up for our free educational email series at neofera.com. Silver Protocol, the ultimate immune booster.